This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday. You can find us here on YouTube, and we encourage you to report for duty. Get trained up. War of the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. I want to encourage you right now to subscribe right here on YouTube to this channel. Smash the like button and share a link to our live chat room to everyone you know right there on Facebook. Get them to come on out and tune in and join in the fight against the host of hell. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even Take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons tuning in, we're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe. Okay, everybody, it's that time again. Welcome back. Today is Monday, April 15th, 2024. Hey, it's a real honor to have our friend back, Brother Don Jeffrey. Don, how are you doing, my friend?
Good, good. It's an honor to be back, and, you know, I thank the Heavenly Father for us being able to get together today and sharing what we know and hopefully learning something today as well. It's a shame what happened in Australia just a few hours ago. And, you know, immediately me and my wife started praying for the bishop's life.
Tell us what happened over there in Australia.
Well, if everybody is familiar, he's a big sensation on YouTube, Bishop Mary Emmanuel. I believe he's from a Coptic church over there, and he's very well known on YouTube. And because he really tells it like it is. And a 15-year-old boy walked right into the church, walked right up to him, and stabbed him like 7 or 8 times, and then stabbed about 3 other people that were trying to prevent any more stabbing. Everybody's going to be fine, which is, you know, that's one of God's miracles. And they have the boy, but there was like 2,000 people outside the church shortly thereafter demanding that the police release the boy. They want to hang him in the street.
I just saw that news before I came on here, and that is horrible. Makes me rethink church security. I think there's a good reason to have security at churches, because you have these nuts coming in there, and this is not the first time people have done that. But, you know, that just shows you who, what the face of militant Islam is all about. That's what they do. And It's a violent religion. And I have to be careful what I say, because I'm in a nation where that is the dominant religion. It's the largest Muslim nation in the world. But there's no place for these militants to do that kind of stuff. I hope, but I'm not holding my breath, that the Australian government will throw him in the jail and arrest the parents too. But they're not going to do that. I heard they arrested the bishop too. And I bet you before this thing's over, he'll be the one demonized. By the media.
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it whatsoever. The media is working for Satan anyway. You know, it's the politicians, the media, it's just like the Bible said, everything is backwards now. What's right will be wrong, and what's wrong will be right. And, you know, the prophecies are all falling right before our eyes.
Especially in Australia. Communists have infiltrated them. Homosexual Aldi has infiltrated
that society, and really it's becoming a police state. Look at the suffering that government over there put the people through during COVID-19. The lockdowns.
Oh, yeah.
People are not allowed in places like Victoria to go more than 15 miles from their home or they'd be arrested. There was not one but two concentration camps being built over there in Australia to hold people who didn't want to take the death jab. And I've even heard that I guess the order is underway to digitize everybody there, put them on a digital ID on their phone. You won't have any
chance. That I've never heard of, but I'm sure it's true because they're going to try to do it to all of us.
Yeah, it's coming. Where were the parents of that guy, that young kid, who went into the church during broad daylight, whatever it was, and stabbed up to four or five people? Where are they at? They need to be arrested. This should not be tolerated. And you don't see Christians doing that.
Nope, you sure don't.
You don't see Christians writing, even when Bibles have been burnt, which is a horrible thing. But Islam gets a pass. You know, this is just not right. He needs to be prosecuted, and that should not be allowed to happen. Well, stories like that are not uncommon. And I've got another one to share here in just a minute, but before I do, welcome aboard. That got me riled up because, I mean, that's just horrible what happened there. And I've seen that guy, the bishop there. He's a very intelligent man. I've listened to him a few times. Folks, we're live with Don Jeffrey. The world is going crazy. We've got the enemies of Israel attacking this week. Israel shot over 100 to 200 missiles, drones, and as I said a few weeks ago, this is going to be a roller coaster of a ride year. We haven't seen nothing yet. There will be something major hitting America, undeniably, before the election to stop Trump from having an opportunity to run. If they can't stop him in the court, they'll pull some false flag. So get ready for some crazy events here in America. We got to hang on to Jesus like never before and stand our ground for Jesus. And even in a country where I'm disarmed, I have a baseball bat sitting over here next to my wall. So, you know, even if they take away your right to bear arms, there are ways to protect you and your family. And I'll hit a home run for my family. I dare anybody to try to get in here and hurt me or my family. There will be a price to pay. I will fight to the death to protect my family. And you have a responsibility out there to protect yours. Any man who does not provide for his family, and that includes self-defense, is worse than an infidel. And so, horrible what's going on out there, but it just shows you the face of evil. And devils running wild out there, killing, stealing, and destroying. And I hope that there'll be a price to pay for that young man who did that. Okay, let's open up in prayer. Take it away. Open us up in prayer tonight, my friend.
Heavenly Father, I thank you that we've had the opportunity to gather today, especially with the events going on throughout the world. And we want to thank you for the, I'm under loss of words, but I want to thank you for the survival of those that were stabbed in the church and for the quick apprehension of that boy, that misguided child. And I also want to thank you for the protection that you have afforded us. And we know you will continue to do so as disciples of Christ and otherwise known as Christians. And we ask nothing more than to give us the opportunity to continue to praise you, worship you, love you, and learn. And that's why we're here today, to learn and to support each other and to spread the news, because news is not only learning, but it's also, it also helps our safety. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
I say amen to that. Everybody, welcome aboard. Now, we've got open lines this hour, so call in right now. If you need prayer, get in the queue, and when you do, press option 1 on your phone pad, keypad. That will show me that you need prayer. Once you get in the queue, just hit 1 on your phone. The dial-in number tonight is 515-602-9734. Again, 515-602-9734. Brother Jeffrey, Don Jeffrey is standing here, standing by to pray for you. Anyone needs deliverance tonight, call in. We may have our first taker. Let's go to 208. Stand by. 208, welcome aboard. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine.
Well, welcome aboard. How can we be a blessing to you tonight? What's going on?
Well, I had cataract surgery on the 12th of December, and I'm still blind in that eye.
Is this Brother Lonnie?
Yeah.
Okay, glad you got through. Well, glad you called in tonight, my brother. What do they believe it was? Was it sugar diabetes?
No, I had cataracts.
No, but I mean that
cataract surgery.
That led to the cataracts or just old age?
Old age.
Old age, yep. One of those two will do it. My mother actually had some surgery recently. What do they do? Did they put you under the scalpel or do they use laser?
Well, I think they put me under the scalpel. I don't recall they used laser on it. But I had surgery in that eye twice.
Okay.
The same eye.
And no improvement after they did the surgery?
Well, it's very little improvement. Seemed like they want me to come in and take this medicine all the time, eye doctor that did the surgery, but I went in there 2 days ago and it showed some improvement. I could read some letters, but it's very, I mean, we're over 100 days I've been going through this, and it's been, you know, very little improvement every time I go to the doctor.
How about the other eye? You got vision there, or is that one also giving you problems?
No, I got a lot better vision, but I was asking God to, I have cataracts in that eye also.
Okay.
But if he could heal this eye, he could heal both of them.
Well, he certainly can. Nothing too hard for God. Well, we'll be gladly pray for you tonight. Brother Lonnie, glad you called in. Now, Brother Don, this is Brother Lonnie.
Hello, Brother Lonnie. How are you today? I understand what you mean about cataracts. I have them myself. They're not bad yet, but I'll be heading for surgery probably in another year or two. I know what they want to do with me is basically they're going to remove the lens from the front of my eye and put a man-made one in. That's what I gathered anyway from watching a video and what they told me, but it was a while ago. But I don't want to have it until I need it. And right now I'm doing okay, so, you know, thank the Lord for that. But Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lonnie is with us here, and we're asking for a complete healing of his eyes, both of them. We're asking for 20/20 vision, Heavenly Father. We're asking for 20/20 vision. We're asking for any parts left of those cataracts to be gone. And we're asking for new lenses in his eyes so that he may see 20/20. And we're asking, and we also command any evil spirits that are preventing Lonnie from obtaining full vision, we command you to leave him now in Jesus' mighty name and go directly to the pit of hell so that modern medicine will be able to work on him. And we thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you because we know you will heal him. And it's in your time, not ours. And we thank you, and we give you all the glory and love, and we cherish you, and we thank you for Lonnie's healing in Jesus' mighty name.
I add to that prayer right now, Father God, we plead the blood of Jesus over Brother Lonnie in his eyes. We command what the Lord Jesus Christ has not planted to be uprooted and come out right now. We rebuke every attack against your vision. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, we ask that you would dissolve the contacts. Not the contacts, but the that milky cataract on his eye. Dissolve him, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, and restore Lonnie's vision. Bless this brother with a long life in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Brother Lonnie, how old are you, my brother? How old are you?
I'm 79.
Well, you're still a young man. Praise the Lord. And how did you find out about this program?
Amen. I've been watching you. I've donated to you several different times.
Well, praise the Lord.
And I'm planning on doing it again. I told the Lord I really want to be a radical giver. And I'm doing it right now. So I want to do more, but I'm at the end of my rope about with this eye surgery. Every time I turn around, it's another $20 or $30, and the bills are piling up, you know.
Well, I thank you for what you've done, and certainly appreciate you tuning in over the years, my friend. God bless you for that. And I just pray and ask, Father God, that you would bless this brother, that you would provide his for his financial needs, and loose ministering angels to him in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Lonnie,
Amen.
For calling in. I appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you.
God bless you. It's good to hear from people. And if you need prayer tonight, call in. Area code 515-602-9734. Yeah, those cataracts have been a real plague to my mother. She was taking a steroid for her lungs, some breathing issues she had. And one of the side effects of that drug is it will give you cataracts. It also can punch holes in your lungs. You got to be very careful out there taking drugs. Just about every one of these drugs out there have some terrible side effect. Even aspirin can cause bleeding. You know, I don't think there's any drugs out there that I really put faith and trust in. And so told my mother, I said, I think the problem is Georgia. When I was down there for 2 weeks, I had stopped up sinuses the entire time. That stuff didn't lift until I was getting ready to leave, coming back. And I'm like, what is going on here? And then I remembered, boy, that's pollen country down there. And so that in Nashville, terrible. You know, there's some people that have had to move geographically because they just couldn't live in a particular city. Wayne Newton is an example. He was dying out there where he lived and had constant breathing issues as a young boy. And then finally the doctor said, you're going to have to move this boy. So they moved him out to, he went out west and ended up staying in Las Vegas and has been there his whole life. He can breathe out there, but he can't breathe in some of these other climates.
Yeah, it's funny. Me living in Arizona, one thing I had learned is a lot of people that have allergies will move out here and they'll lose the allergies. They'll be gone. However, a lot of people that will move out here that didn't have allergies end up picking them up.
Really? No, that's strange.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I never had allergies in my entire life. And 2 months out of the year, I'm like a faucet. But it took me a good 8-9 years of living out here before it happened. But sure enough, 2 months out of the year, I'm like a running faucet. The rest of the time, I'm okay.
Folks, welcome aboard. If you're just joining us, we're live with Don Jeffrey. We have wide open lines, 515-602-9734. If you need prayer, call in. Okay, while we're waiting on a phone call, before I went to bed last night, I saw this interesting YouTube interview with an actor named Terrence Howard. I'm sure you probably know him out there. I think he was in a recent TV series called Empire. I know I remember him from Iron Man and some other movies. Very intelligent guy. And as he's being interviewed, he really explains the method acting some of these actors and actresses employ to really get into their part. And I don't think I've ever heard a better description. I want to play this short clip. He's being asked how he prepares for his roles. Check this out.
About the process of acting. And you said that sometimes when you walk off, they walk off with your clothes.
Yeah.
Can you explain that?
Well, as an actor, as you're more like a medium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you really get there, you know, you go into this zone and you really divorce yourself of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you just become a garment that something else puts on. Now,
right.
A lot of people sit up there and do impersonations of other folks,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of allowing that spirit, you know. But I sit up and I'll pray for a little bit and go in a dark place,
mm-hmm.
go in a bathroom, turn off the lights, look in the mirror. We'll have light on at first, and then after 1 minute, turn the light off and, you know, and search until you see your own glow, your own aura. And then you watch it change.
Wow.
And it's a scary thing,
yeah.
because you'll feel like some hands are on you.
Wow.
And you lose a little bit of control of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you stay with it, you know, you'll be inhabited by
mm-hmm.
something. And then you walk out and the character's
wow.
with you. And you got to know how to say goodbye to it.
Right.
If you really want to
yeah,
get there.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
A lot of people are afraid,
mm-hmm.
you know, to empty themselves
mm-hmm.
and be filled up with something else.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as an actor, you're an emotional prostitute.
Wow.
You know, you put on whatever you need for the job.
Mm-hmm.
You're turning a trick. You're turning an emotional trick.
Wow.
And it's nothing
yeah.
more glorious
yeah.
than that.
Okay. So how do you balance the separation of who you really are? Or are they similar?
No. You got to remember, we've been here since the very beginning.
What do you make of that, Don?
Well, it sounds to me like he's trying to empty himself to make room for more evil spirits.
That's exactly what he's talking about. And he goes into the bathroom, folks, looks at the mirror, turns the lights off, and he invites these spirits to come in, go into his body, and help him play the character. I heard Denzel Washington allude to the same process. And I wouldn't be surprised Nicolas Cage was doing it too. He calls his methods something nouveau shaman or something. That's what these people do, many of them, folks.
You know, the problem with that is whenever they use the word spirit, you got to remember, other than ministering spirits, which are actually angels, so they're not really spirits, you have the Holy Spirit. Anything else other than that is really evil.
That's what it is.
So,
it's an unclean spirit. A demon.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And he said, you got to be very careful and know when it's time to tell those things to go. And so there's people out there that think they can invite demons into them and harness them for whatever their goal is. And then they'll do some ritual and they think that they can dispel these demons. I think he's got another thing coming. This guy, sadly, has become demonized and deceived. The same guy, though, he was giving his testimony how he came out of, he was in the Christian church as a young boy.
Mm-hmm.
I think went through some kind of his parents went through a divorce, and then his stepfather was a Muslim, so went from Christianity, he knows about Jesus, into Islam, and he was a Muslim for a long time. And then he said gives a testimony about he left Islam when this guy that was in his community, very well respected, got arrested, and he said he finds out his friend was gone, and he inquired what happened. And it was a radical Muslim which had found some boy, young boy, pissing up against the wall of, I guess, the mosque. And the man got the boy and castrated him, cut his balls right off. And he said, you know, what kind of God would require you to do something like that? Now, he's got a point. It's not the God of the Bible that would call for people to castrate a child. And so then he became a Jehovah's Witness, and he was one of those, I think, for 20 years. And if you listen to the full interview, he says, as it is above, so it be below. He says some things in there which makes me believe that he got off into Satanism. One thing for sure, this guy is deceived. And at the same time, he's got a lot of intelligence and talks about, you know, some interesting finds in the scientific field. So, you know, I'm praying for him. And I encourage you out there also to pray for this guy. He needs Jesus. I think he's a brilliant man. But he's fallen into some deception. His name is Terrence Howard. And pray for him. Because, boy, he'd be a great ambassador for Christ if he get his thing straightened out. But he's going to need deliverance. That's what they do. I think Denzel Washington did that when he channeled Malcolm X. Now, hear what the guy said. He said, you basically become a medium. That's what mediums do. They become possessed by an evil spirit that they channel. And in this case, it helps him actually get into the character. I saw another interview, and he said, I've been gone a while. They said, where you been? He said, I had to go to some dark places to prepare for a role as a serial killer. You know, I believe that's what happened with Heath Ledger, to prepare for his role as the Joker. You know what? He went on to the dark side, summoned up the demons. He became evil personified for that part. But the problem,
and what they don't realize is these evil spirits will help them.
Yep.
Only because they want them to get more, do more things to get more evil spirits in. And then eventually they're going to take over. And when that happens, you're done.
That's right. They think they can disengage. Are you kidding me? You invite these things in, they're coming, folks. They will take that invite and come in and bring in friends. And apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to keep those demons. This guy's deceived to think that he could just summon them and then command them to go without ill effects. They come to kill, steal,
and destroy. A lot of people, like you said, a lot of people, they try to channel ascended masters and this and that. All they are is evil spirits. They try to channel dead people, and all that is a familiar spirit. It's someone that may have been in that person for 30, 40, 50 years. And now he's out, and now they hear that you're calling for this dead person. That evil spirit's going to show up. He's been in that person that long. He could tell you anything you want to know about that person, so he could fool you to make you believe that he's a ghost. There are no ghosts. They're all evil spirits.
Absolutely. Same thing that people get when they practice yoga.
Yep.
And I'm waiting for a phone call here, so while there's no call, we'll have a little conversation. But we'd like to pray with you if you need help. 515-602-9734. I got my eye on the switchboard. So there's a book written by a man who's a very high level, I would guess he's called a yogi, involved in yoga at one of the highest levels. And he wrote a book on it. And he shows you by diagram all the positions. And he talks about how this came out of Egypt and how the positions that they have you put your body into is not to get you limber, but it's to give praise to a specific demon god. Every pose worships a specific demon entity.
Sure, and to make that, the way I explain it to people, I find they understand it better, is if you were to picture a little boy or a little girl kneeling at their bed with their hands together and their head down, you would automatically know, just by me telling you what the vision is, you would automatically know that they're praying to God. Okay, and that particular pose right there, everybody knows what that is. But nobody really knows what these yoga poses are. And because demonically, everything is twisted and demented, that when you get into these unusual yoga positions, that's the same thing as that little boy or girl praying. but you're paying homage to an evil spirit. You're paying homage to a high-level fallen angel. Just like the fallen angels, all of those, like, what are 333 million gods over in India? They were all fallen angels. When you had that big war that supposedly took place over there 5,000 years ago, that was fallen angels and principalities fighting over areas and other things. That's all it is. It's all fallen angels.
Absolutely. And in addition to the position that they put you in, they get you to repeat these mantras. They give you a name to repeat or a phrase. What you're doing is you're invoking these demons to come in.
You're opening the door.
Mm-hmm. And possess you. And he talks about back to Terrence, he said clearing his mind and his body. That's the way these things come in. You displace the Spirit of God and replace it with an evil spirit. You just turn over control of your mind. You empty yourself. They'll say empty yourself so something else can come in and fill you. It's not the Holy Ghost. It's an evil ghost, a demon, an unclean spirit, evil spirit. What if you want to call them? They'll come in and they'll possess you. And then they talk about, of course, the Kundalini awakening, an actual snake coiled at the base of the spine that will come up through your head. And many people don't survive the Kundalini awakening. It blows their mind or kills them. And that's usually what happens with these people that get off in the occult. They actually lose their minds.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I learned, and I was studying it, and the Holy Spirit actually revealed it to me. And we have these so-called chakra points, or gates, is what I call them. And people want to open these gates. And what the Holy Spirit had revealed to me was that the gates are supposed to be closed. God put them in us for a reason that's not revealed. However, when you open the gates, it's like opening toll booths in the body. And it lets these evil spirits go wherever they want inside you to cause more damage. Not only that, but of course the snake coming up. And when I was doing exorcisms, whenever I had to deal with the Kundalini, well, it was always three snakes or spirits of snakes, and there was always three of them. I never had under nine evil spirits posing as snakes that I had to get at. It was always nine, three of them, and each one is three snakes. Why, I have no idea, but that's what I found.
Absolutely, there are snakes involved. We had Matt Monarch on this program, who came out of the New Age and the occult. On top of that, he was a vegan. That lifestyle almost killed him, by the way. And he ended up losing part of his colon. Real sad story, but he's alive and he found Jesus in the process. That's the good news that came out of it. And he mentions he actually saw the snake that we're referring to manifesting in someone's body. God allowed him to see it. This is real stuff, folks. This is demonic from the pits of hell meant to take people captive. And so don't mess with this stuff. If you've been involved in it, you need to get out. There's no such thing as Christian yoga. I also put up a picture that was taken over there at T-Day Jake's church where his wife is a yoga practitioner. It was Christianity Today, I believe, or Christian Post magazine. And they were doing it right there in the church. And you see a picture of some of the congregants in these yoga poses. Folks, what fellowship does light have with darkness? This is an abomination to God. It not only makes your body limber, but invites demons in, and also puts you under a generational curse. God visits the iniquities of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those that hate him. And we are strictly prohibited from worship of other gods. And that's exactly what they're doing. And those that do that, it's idolatry. And you end up cursing yourself. Go read Deuteronomy 5, 8 through 10. In fact, we may do that. We don't have a caller yet, folks. We're here to take your call. So call in. Let me read Deuteronomy 5, 8 through 10. Stand by. Okay. Let me get over to King James. It's the version I read. Stand by a minute. Well, I guess
you mean you don't read the Queen James version?
I've got to do it old school. I'm going to go get over and get my Bible here because the internet's not working. I think we're making a mistake relying on electronic versions. I hope people have a hard copy of the Bible still. Okay. Deuteronomy 5:8 says, Thou shalt not make thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I am Yahovah thy God. For I, Yahovah thy God, am a jealous God. Here we go. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. What people are doing when they worship these other gods, like through the religion of yoga, comes out of Hinduism, goes all the way back, of course, to Egypt. As this book will illustrate, they're bowing themselves down to demons, fallen angels. And for that, God will curse you and your family going down 3 to 4 generations. So you get the demons, you get a curse, but you may be a little bit more limber. Was it worth it? You can do stretches and you don't have to do yoga, folks. Yoga is deception and it's binding people up, taking them off into bondage. Don't play with it. You're playing with fire. Back to you, Don.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, getting back to what you said before, they have Christian yoga and stuff like that. Well, not only that, but I was in a bookstore the other day, and there must be 100 different kinds of tarot cards. And, you know, they're all like angel cards now, where it makes it okay because they're angel cards. They're not tarot cards anymore, although they're used the same way. That's how Satan tricks everyone. Same thing with Ouija boards. They now have angel boards out. And it's still a doorway for evil spirits to come in. It's still a doorway. And it's the same thing. Satan tries to fool you and get you involved in this. When I was a kid, I was involved in the martial arts, and on the weekends, I would always go to this one mall. It had 3 bookstores in it. And for some reason, I remembered it. And what it was in 1 week's time, meaning I went like on a Sunday, and the next time I went was on a Saturday, and I visited all 3 bookstores looking at the martial arts books. And right near there was the witchcraft section. And the witchcraft sections in all 3, and they were chain stores, all 3 of them changed within 1 week from witchcraft. They just changed the sign to New Age. They didn't even move a book. And now they're calling it something else. I think it's some kind of like self-improvement or something like that they're calling it now. But it's still just witchcraft, no matter how you call it. And like I said, these talking boards and everything else, that's a generic term for a Ouija board, is a talking board. It's nothing more than opening up a gateway to let these evil spirits come into you. And that's what they want. They want to get into you, tempt you. They can't make you sin, but they will tempt you to sin. They will definitely tempt you to sin. And once you do sin, if you don't repent for it, then they got you. And their whole life, the whole thing is for them to get you to die in sin. If you die in sin, you're going to hell. You're not going to be with the Heavenly Father. And it's, you know, I am constantly attacked all the time because witches know my website and they're always throwing stuff at me. Most of the time it doesn't stick. If something does stick and I could tell that I got a curse over me, then I know that I got to repent for something and I got to do some self-analysis to find out what it is that I didn't repent for. And sometimes I just got to ask the Heavenly Father, say, look, I don't know what it was, but I repent for it. Whatever it is, please reveal it to me. Because if you're holding sin, these you know, these witches, when they put a curse out on you, it's going to open a door for the evil spirit to come in and carry it out. And, you know, that's what you got to watch. And it's not only me being attacked, because I got a website that brings, you know, and I bring my attention to them. But it's anybody. The rock and roll albums are cursed. All you have to do is listen to them. So if you're carrying a sin and you listen to this, to certain rock and roll albums or something like that, it opens the door for the evil spirits to enter right away. And it's gotten so bad where, because we are all sinners anyway, without the evil spirits, that if we're all sinners, then we all have open doors. So they all got to be closed. You got to repent your sins. You got to keep those doors closed from these evil spirits. But we all have them. The question is, are they bad enough to where you have to get them pulled out? Or can you live with them? Sometimes people have evil spirits. They'll be in them for their entire lives, and they'll never even know they're there because they're not really active. But most of the time, and their whole idea behind it is to get you to die in sin. Because God can destroy Satan just by thought. But the whole thing comes down to it's a moral war. And God wants to win morally. He wants to win. He wants us to come to him out of love. And we have free will for love. He could take that free will away and make us love him, but then it wouldn't be real love. So he wants us to love him through our free will. And by doing that, he wins and we win. By not doing that, Satan wins and we lose.
Absolutely.
So it's a literal war that we're going through. And every time you see someone get baptized and accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, not only are they becoming born again, but you could literally change that word from born again to soldier or soldier of God, because it's a war. And you become a soldier when you become born again.
You know, you're talking about those cards. There's a group from Australia called Christ Alignment Ministries. And they went out as guests to the American church, I believe it was Bethel Church, and brought that stuff in. They call them destiny cards. And they said they were painted by, Christians, you know, that are gifted with the prophetic. And these are Christian tarot cards. There's nothing Christian about them, folks, but that's how they describe them. And people go to these soothsayers, these fortune tellers. Many times they'll have these at psychic fairs, and you get in front of a table and they lay the cards out and they're supposed to prophesy your future. The problem is people are deceived. Just because someone says they worship God, that doesn't mean that they worship the God of the Bible, whose son is Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, here in this country of Indonesia, you could ask all my neighbors if they believe in God or they believe in the Lord, and they'll say yes. So does that mean that they're saved? Well, think again. What God is it that they serve? What Lord is it they serve? Is it Allah, who has no sun, whose symbol is the crescent moon? Is it Shakti, Kali, Vishnu, Hanuman, Ganesha, the elephant god, Kali, Lord Vishnu, Lord Buddha? God and Lord are titles, folks, but what God, what Lord are you and I serving? And people say, well, it's Christian, or I'm a pastor. But reportedly, there's a pastor who had a one of these stripper poles at his conference recently. And some gay man up there doing maneuvers on a dancing pole. Just because he calls himself a pastor, that doesn't mean anything. You'll know them by their fruits. So back to these cards. This is textbook example of witchcraft, divination. Falls under the same scriptures and others that tell you it's an abomination to God and God will curse you. The curse causeless shall not come. I take that to mean that when you're under a curse, there's a reason, because God cursed you and I because we ran afoul of his word. It's not some witch. You don't have to worry about a witch if you're a born-again believer. not living in sin, they can't touch you. If they try to attack you, you can deal with it very easily. What it's talking about, you need to be aware of when God curses you and I, because he's all about the blessing or the curse you choose. There's a book by that name by Derek Prince. If you do this, I'll bless you. If you do this, I'm going to curse you. And when people are trying to get information, hidden knowledge, knowledge about their future, when will I get married? When will I die? Will I have prosperity this year? And they're going to these Christian psychics, quote unquote Christian. They're not no more Christian than the man in the moon. You're going to an occult source. They work with demons. You're in rebellion to God, which is as the sin of witchcraft. You bring a curse on your own head that will run 3 to 4 generations, and there's not going to be anything you can do about it until you repent and fall in the mercy of God. Because when God curses you, there's no way to lift that except you must repent. Turn from your wicked ways. And then you can appropriate Galatians 3:13, Jesus Christ became a curse on the tree, and break that curse in Jesus' name. We're not willing to repent.
Amen to that. And I'll tell you, too, what it is when these people go to these mediums, regardless if they say they're Christian or not, what they're doing is they got an evil spirit in them, which is leading them to these mediums, and regardless of what they're asking them, the evil spirit that's in them knows them. So the evil spirit in them speaks to the evil spirit in the medium, and she thinks she's getting this message from beyond the grave or something, but it's only the demon in the person speaking to the demon in the medium, and then the demon in the medium shouts out to the medium, hey, this is what's going to go on. This is what's going on in his life. So chances are he is going to get married, since he's been going out with this woman for 10 years already, and they're talking about it. You see what I'm getting at? So it's all demonic communication.
And so the demon in the medium speaks to the demon of the person, and they can very quickly get all the information about their background, and even know secrets nobody else knows. And then they bamboozle people. Oh, it must be God, because nobody else knew that about me and my life. And then they deceive them into thinking, well, if they got that right, they can get the future right. Demons don't know the future. Satan doesn't know the future except what God has written down is going to occur in the Word. He tries to manipulate the future, and he lies and deceives people and pulls them in, and people pay great sum of money to continue to go back to these people. But for this stuff to happen in the church, I'll get the guy's name here in just a minute. What is going on here, folks? It tells me that the church is compromised. Its leadership compromised in many of these places. They've been bamboozled. And I'll tell you what, typically when you see that happen, there's
no deliverance. I was just going to say, though, the one thing people have to realize, though, even if God curses you, he's a forgiving God.
Yes.
And as long as you realize you've done wrong and you repent for it. Now, if you have an addiction, and I found this to be true doing exorcisms, if you have an addiction and you can't repent for it, if you're an alcoholic, you can't repent for drinking, because you're going to go out in 2 hours and drink, or even the next day, but you're still going to drink. But what I did find out was an evil spirit told me once that he had a legal right to be in the person because of drinking. The person was an alcoholic. So I pulled the person back up, and I said, repeat after me. And I said, Heavenly Father, please forgive me for my alcohol abuse and my addiction, and I ask forgiveness, and I ask you for help in Jesus' mighty name. I pulled the evil spirit back up. You got a legal right now? No, I don't. So that will take the legal right away. So if that takes the legal right away from the evil spirits, and they're legalists, it's only common sense wise that although you have the addiction, if you're asking God to help you with it, and you're asking for forgiveness, you're sort of covered. It's not repentance, but you're doing it in hopes that one day you will repent. So that will also cover you. It's temporary, but it will cover you until you're able to quit or whatever, and keep praying, and only pray to God once and ask him to help. The rest of the time when you pray, you thank him for helping, because it's his time, not yours, that he's going to help.
Well, there is a solution. It's only going to be found, as you mentioned, in Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can lift these curses, folks. And he made a way for you and I to do it. Again, Galatians 3:13. But to be able to appropriate what he did on the cross, we have to meet the conditions. We've got to confess that sin, renounce it, turn from our wicked ways. And if you'll do that, you can break the curse. I myself found myself under a generational curse. 2005, the Lord made me aware of it. I knew there was a problem that me and my brothers had. We had mood swings. We're up one day, down the next. Was being tormented by evil spirits. On one hand, very successful with a business God had given me. But when the weekends would come, like a darkness would come over me. If I wasn't working, like a dark cloud would come over me. And my brothers too, and my sister-in-law Natalie said, you know, something about you Davis brothers sure are moody. Well, she was right. And I thought, what's going on here? Maybe I got a chemical imbalance. I was seeking out some information in the herbal world. I didn't want to get on any psychotropic drugs, so I was about ready to go take St. John's wort. And that wasn't what I needed. What I needed was deliverance. But I was miserable one night, fell asleep on my sofa, woke up Saturday morning, realized I didn't make it back to bed, but I'd fallen asleep on the couch. And I got up, had my King James Bible on the armrest, and I just opened it up, just set my eyes on Scripture. I don't remember what Scripture was, and bam, the dream came back. And I remember the word of the Lord. It said, you and your brother Damon have a generational curse. You need to break. God identified what the problem was, a generational curse, and that we need to take action. So Don, about 2 days later, my brother Damon called me, and he said, man, I got this book you need to read. I said, what is it? He said, it's by Derek Prince. It's called The Blessing or the Curse. You choose. Derek Prince is a very smart guy.
Oh yeah, he was one of the true generals of deliverance ministry.
And in this book, he outlines how we can come under curses by disobeying God's word through personal sin, through ancestral. In my case, it was something that had happened a few generations back. And then our half brother in Jacksonville was also being awoken to the fact that he had some issues. He was laying in his bed in his condominium, and what I had heard was a succubus demon paralyzed him, and he couldn't move, and he was being choked. And he cried out, Jesus, Jesus, multiple times, and then the demon let go of him and ran out of his condo and slammed the door behind him. He was so traumatized, he had found his way to some workshop on breaking curses. Well, God was, let every word be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. God was letting us each know in his own way that we had problems. That was the first time I'd ever heard the Lord speak audibly. And it was in my dream. I didn't see him. I just heard the voice. Well, I didn't know what to do. We were raised in church but knew nothing about deliverance. That was just something they did over in Africa for, you know, demon-possessed people, not for Christians. So, thankfully, Derek Prince had a curse-breaking prayer. And it was on tape, and my brother Damon said, why don't we get on the phone and pray? So Damon and I and our brother Ryan and John all got together over the phone. I was living in Panama at the time, them back in the States, and we played this short prayer, renunciation prayer, repeated after Derek, prayed, meant business with the Lord, renounced the sins of our ancestors, repented for our sins, and then appropriated Galatians 3:13, broke that curse in Jesus' name. That started my deliverance. It'd be some 20 years before I actually read the book. I read it this past year. I'd known about it all these years, but never got around to it. I'd heard the teaching, but I actually physically read it. It's such a powerful book, I gave 7 copies out during Christmas. Gave them out to all my family. Encourage everybody to get the book. And there's prayers that you can pray along the way as you're learning different things about how curses operate. Turned out, Don, that my great-grandfather on my dad's side had gotten into Freemasonry, which is worship of other gods, and brought a curse that killed him at age 52, premature death, killed my grandfather at 58, took my father out a year later after I had this dream at 57, and it was coming after me and my brother. Premature death was a price that they paid, and it was only my great-grandfather that was a Mason. My grandfather and father had nothing to do with it, but they were still affected by it, but didn't have the antidote. to sin that was coursing through the family lines, a death curse. And it wasn't hard to break this curse. We just didn't know what to do. But once we did, because I cried out to the Lord and he heard my cry and told me, you got a generational curse need to break, you and your brother. We applied the antidote. We repented of sin, ancestral sins, applied Galatians 3:13, broke that curse in Jesus' name. The only thing that can break it, in the name of Jesus. And we were set free of it. It would be years later, but this is 2005 that happened. It's probably about 2016 or 17. I always knew the family tradition that, you know, a great granddad on the dead side was a Mason, but I wanted to prove it. I actually contacted the lodge in Georgia. Told them my grandfather was a Mason. Wanted to inquire about it, and God opened the door. And they opened up the archive, and they wrote me back and told me my great-grandfather was a master Mason, third degree, and showed the dates that he'd got each of the degrees up to the third one. And he got this about 2 years before he died. And he was a minister on top of that. And I'm like, what were you doing, granddad, to be involved in? He was deceived. And I don't know that he ever repented, because he was buried by two pallbearers, which are mentioned as Masons in the obituary. I think he went right into hell. The point I'm making here is that's such an abomination. It's worship of Ahura Mazda, Satan at the top. But I had a guy named Kelvin McCracken, who was a master of a lodge in Scotland, got delivered, broke that curse when he found out that he was living in sin. Even as a Christian, he thought it was okay. And he met my friend David Measures from England. God set it up as a divine appointment. They were both at a holiday in a beach and didn't know each other from Adam. And they were out in the surf and began to talk. Had something in common. They knew Jesus. And then God opened the door for Kelvin to describe what he was doing. He was running a lodge at the time. And he came out, and now he shares his testimony. We did a three-part series, including a renunciation of Freemasonry. It's in the archive. And he said, at the very top, we worship Ahura Mazda. He said, though, even if you're a first-degree Mason, the fact that you're submitting to the, and you're bowing down to the lodge, you're submitting yourself all the way up to the highest level of fallen angels. And it brings a curse. Run 3 to 4 generations.
So, right, and it's not only that, but what people got to realize, the way the generational curse works is, of course, it's usually the man that becomes a master Mason or a regular Mason. And upon the man, who is what? He is the head of the household.
Yes.
So when the head of the household takes that ritual, partakes in that ritual, then what he is doing is he is representing his family and his family's, you know, future, you know, granddaughters, grandsons, and so forth. So that's how the curse is transferred. It's because they are the head of the family, and they are the ones taking it. And it gets put on the entire family line.
Yep, just as that verse says, God will visit the iniquities of the third and fourth generation. So we were suffering the consequences of the sin that had been brought in. Now, doesn't mean that's going to be the only sin. There was other sins as well. But we had to systematically begin to deal with it. And it wasn't difficult, but we didn't know what to do. But when you know what to do, then you take action, and your life can be spared. Otherwise, you can suffer the same fate as your ancestors did. Well, we're just about out of time, and we wanted to take some calls tonight. We're thankful for the one call that came in, but we didn't have any more callers tonight. So you never know who's going to call in, but we'll try it again next time.
90 seconds.
But before we close, Don, I want to thank you for being a guest again, and tell people about your ministry, how they can reach out to you, and any other details you want to give out.
Well, sure. It's theforgottenministry.org. One word, theforgottenministry.org. That's my webpage. Basically, I'm an exorcist, and through exorcism, you get deliverance. I don't do anything. Jesus does it all. I call myself Christ's hammer.
60 seconds.
He picks up a hammer, he beats the evil spirits with them, and then which means me. He picks me up, beats the evil spirits with me, and then he throws me on a workbench until he needs me again. When people come to me for an exorcism, they are literally coming to Christ through me. And if they're not born again, I take them through that process of becoming born again, including baptism. And then we do the exorcism.
That's
so
fantastic.
Like I said, you're coming to Christ through me. So you will become born again because you're asking Christ to remove the evil spirits.
So you lead them to Jesus.
Absolutely.
And then you minister deliverance. Now, that is awesome. How can people contact you if they'd like more information?
10 seconds.
Like I said, it's my webpage is theforgottenministry.org.
Theforgottenministry.org. And have you made any headway getting your Facebook page back?
Not yet. I'm letting it die out so then I could open up a new one. I got word from Facebook that they're going to they took it off or whatever, or they're giving like 6 months before the whole thing is going to be kaput so I could start a new one. So.
Okay, fantastic. Or you can just set up a new email and start afresh.
I'm going to do that soon. I'm going to make one for the ministry.
Check out protonmail.com. It's a great email server. God bless you, Don. And what are you doing next Thursday, the 25th?
I don't have my date book here. Let me get back to you on that, okay?
Sounds good.
I'll get back to you in 10 minutes.
God bless you. Thank you, sir.
God bless you, too. Thank you very much. Goodbye, everybody. God bless you all.
Folks, we're going to save that, and we're going to come back. We've got a program coming up with Joseph Ferrara. Stand by.